Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com and host of Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147 Sirius XM. You can find more episodes of this podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today's topic on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is all about governance. Now, this sounds like a topic that only applies to the largest of corporations, but that is just not true. No matter the size of your farm business, governance plays a role in how you operate and the decisions that you make. Governance has been defined to refer to structures and processes that are designed to ensure accountability, transparency, responsiveness, rule of law, stability, equity, and inclusiveness, empowerment, and broad-based participation. Even as a farm owner entrepreneur, you are accountable to someone for your decisions, whether it is your family, your lender, employees, etc. Having good governance plays a role whether you recognize it or not. Today's guest on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is Brian Hayward. Brian is a speaker, author, and veteran to many boardrooms across several industries. Brian wrote a book on governance entitled The Great Chair, which is required reading for many board members in Canada. Many of you remember Brian Hayward as being the CEO of United Grain Growers. Here's my conversation with Brian Hayward. So, Brian, when I throw out the term governance, how do you define that word?
Well, it's actually in my book, because I wondered about that, Sean. So it's a good question. It actually comes from, I think if my memory's right in my book, is it comes from a Greek derivative meaning to steer. And the world of governance is actually, as much as people would think, oh, this has gone on for a long, long time, modern governance is really only probably a couple of hundred years old. And the most modern versions of governance and probably no more than about 40 or 50 years, because there's been a tendency for, you know, the chair of the board to be the CEO and to be, you know, almost like the four-star general that is command and control. And my philosophy on it, and how I managed when I've been a leader in management, but also how I operate as a governance individual, is that success now comes from teams, because you can't know everything. You can't just sit on a high stool and bark out orders and expect everything is going to go the right way, because there's so many, you know, just look at something as simple as technology. You know, you can't know how to run a great farm operation and know all of what it takes to produce a great crop and also be an expert in IT and where to get information from, et cetera. So it really requires a lot of coordination. And so steering an organization and modern governance is really designed to have people operate in a way where they're working together towards a common interest, and as opposed to a hierarchical command structure.
You know, and in some ways, you know, in a public company, you know, a board, you know, focuses on governance, management focuses on governance to protect the interests of the shareholders, right? In the case of a farm, those shareholders are still, they're probably the management team, and they're also the board of directors, probably a few other people thrown in there. But it's really, you know, having these things in place, it's really helping you protect yourself and your investment.
Well, it brings a clarity to it. So one of the things, thinking models that gets applied to just family business generally, but you could apply it certainly to farm business, is, you know, people own a family business. People own a farm. People can be involved in the governance of that as well as being owners, and people can actually manage. So there's three circles in this Venn diagram. And you might say, well, you know, I'm getting on, I'm still going to be part owner of this. And yeah, you know, I want to be involved with my son on, you know, on his board and how they make decisions, but you know, I'm just, a, I'm, I'm not managing the farm operation anymore. But there's other people that they don't want to be involved in the governments. They just, they may have an ownership interest and they want to manage it. And so, you know, what comes out of governance thinking is a clarity about roles and responsibilities and writing stuff down. You know, when you make the point about how do we make decisions, you don't just get busy and sort of have a shortcut, and you've got a proper way of dealing with things that is thoughtful, because it's going to manage the organization, the farm business, in order for it to succeed and be sustainable, not in an environmental way as much as sustaining from one generation to another one. You know, there's examples of the Richardsons, the Sobeys, of where people design ways for there to be orderly succession. And there's other way, high profile examples like the McCains, where they didn't think about that and they end up getting in a big bun fight. and you can't say, well, that's just an accident. They just didn't think it through and have a way of making decisions that where the interests were paramount, and people just got positions and got mad at each other and threw stuff and whatever.
Awesome.
There's a saying I put in least quotes in my book, but I it's something about getting together with the family is so wonderful, so we can all enjoy the fine feud.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to avoid. But that's real life. But we're trying to avoid it. But that is real life.
Yeah, absolutely. The number of family businesses, a percentage that can actually go past three generations is less than 20%. Yeah, and a lot of times it's not because Gen 3 didn't want to be involved. What happens at Gen 3, there's you know, enough people that were involved in the governance, and there's fights, and there's poor succession, no planning, and a complete lack of governance, usually because there's, you know, a patriarch sort of stereotypically, yeah, that, you know, is there and wants to leave a legacy. The best legacy that any family business a leader of any family business can provide is making sure there's smooth succession and an ability to focus the business on the marketplace, as opposed to internal bickering with, you know, amongst family members. And, you know, farm businesses now are significant enterprises. And when there's when you know, some of the things that are real simple is how many people are on the board. And Ted Allen at UGG and AgriCorp United used to say, you have to have an odd number, otherwise you get deadlocked. Yeah. And the other day, David Asper, who's runs the law department at the University of Manitoba, he gave a seminar talking about a couple of the situations that were very topical in Manitoba, in the city of Winnipeg, with the Norwood Hotel and a couple of others, where you had an even number of family members, or somebody got sick and then son replaces father. And, you know, again, it's something that I would highly encourage, you know, farm businesses to really think very carefully about how the enterprise is governed, and how it's going to move from one gen to another one.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times when we talk about, you know, like some of the examples you gave, people, the reaction is, okay, yeah, that sounds good, but those are large organizations. You know, they have like an official board of directors and, you know, there's that kind of structure. My farm, you know, we're two generations and we've got, you know, maybe 10 employees, and I don't know if we're challenged by some of those same things. And that's not true at all.
No, I think farm, you know, there's significant farm businesses. As soon as you're incorporated, you're going to have a board. So now it's more a question of, you know, do you have a paper board, Or do you have a board where you're looking out and thinking about things like risk management? And there's just a whole raft of issues that a well-run board can deal with. You know, employees, you use the example, you got 10 employees. Those people, you know, that getting employees is not that easy, and keeping them there, retaining them. Now you're getting into compensation and how do you attract people? Are there bonuses? There's compensation philosophy, and there's ways of compensating people that ensure that you're, first of all, going to attract the right people, and secondly, you're going to retain them. And the best people, they want to develop themselves. They want to be potentially part owners of a business, whether it's a farm business or a family business. The best people would like to have some kind of pseudo equity or participation, so that the profitability of the enterprise is such that they benefit as well. So it's not just like getting, you know, the hired hand to go and move some stuff around and drive the tractor. That's old school. Modern farm business, and increasingly so, especially with the kind of technology that's being deployed, involves understanding for the technology itself, marketing, risk management, a whole bunch of things that that really are not, they're not any different. The words and the subjects may, you know, that are specific to a business. I worked for 11 years with Princess Auto. So most of your listeners probably would know of Princess Auto. And, you know, the issues of the Tallman family, of succession, of risk management, those are all central to that business. And a farm business really is no different. I think, you know, farm business managers aren't doing themselves any favors by saying, oh yeah, it's just a farm, no biggie.
We will get back to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast, but first a word from our sponsor, RBC Royal Bank. This episode of Mind Your Farm Business podcast is brought to you by RBC. For many, farming is a family affair, with each generation facing its own unique challenges. A solid succession plan goes beyond handing over day-to-day operations. Develop a plan that supports your farm's legacy and its future. Visit rbc.com/succession and speak with an agriculture account manager near you. What are some of the pitfalls to avoid if you want to have good government, if you want to have good governance in your operation? There's no perfect situation. We're all striving for that elusive perfect situation. But what, when we're trying to get there, what are some of the pitfalls we should be avoiding?
You know, I think pitfall number one is what I would probably call DIY syndrome, which is, governance, I can take care of that. It's not that complicated. I think what I've found fascinating, and I'm not trying to promote myself per se, but there are people that are governance professionals that can actually look at the structure of how the board, because a farm business that's big enough is going to have a board. It'll incorporate. And as soon as you get into that, there's things like, okay, what's on our agenda? But the first domino that I think should fall and would be the first pitfall is thinking that it's kind of simple. I can do it myself. I can pull my teeth out. I got a pair of pliers, but I don't do that. I use a professional, and just actually, for a lot of farmers, you know, it'd be like doing your taxes. You just do them yourself. I mean, in theory, you should be able to do that. And governance really isn't any different. There's people that are very, very highly trained that know, you know, I just used a specific example, don't have a board where there's an even number of people. There's actually very, very visible lawsuits that have happened because boards are deadlocked. Because it's two against two or three against three. And then it ends up going into court. So it's simple things. It's knowing, you know, how to use external auditors, and risk management, probably generally, because there's, you know, there, a lot of your listeners might be in grain and some people are in cattle, but I would say risk management and people development, you know, farm enterprise getting more complicated. The sophistication of the people that are working in the farm business needs to increasingly get more advanced, and those people are going to, you need to be able to attract them and retain them and compensate them in a way that recognizes the talent they're bringing to the table. But that's a governance issue as well.
Yeah. Do you think, Brian, there's one of the things that tends to happen in small businesses, you have like your governance structure, your governance plan written down on paper. It's something maybe you show the banker, like when you're trying to get a loan. Yeah, look at this, this is how we operate. But then when push comes to shove, rubber hits the road, you know, it's planting time or a big decision has to be made. It's sort of like, well, we had a structure because things just sort of happen. Is that a problem in small business?
Yeah, I think what it is what you're alluding to is there should be some discipline around about how decisions are made. Could be as simple as, you know, what kind of return do we want off of this particular investment? You know, are we running some numbers and looking at scenarios? The balance sheet of the farm business, you know, they're it's not just farm businesses, but lots of businesses get in trouble because they haven't actually run sensitivity analyses on how much debt they can accommodate, and apply some scenarios like what if there was a drought or what if this happened or what that happened, so that you actually make sure that you're sustaining. And it gets to a risk philosophy. Most businesses that get to a certain level of sophistication will have a conversation about risk tolerance, and it's a philosophical conversation in part. Do we want to, you know, be on the bleeding edge, or do we really, you know, where are we at in our lives? But I think once you accept that this is actually a bit more complicated, and you don't DIY it, that you get some expertise in, there's a way of designing how decisions are made and how you manage risk, and also what kind of skills you require to run the farm. How are we going to attract the right people? How are we going to compensate them so that we retain them, so that we've got continuity? All of these things, I think, are ultimately part of governance. And if you just do it yourself, it's like I say, it's like a lot of things. I could put shingles on my roof. The odds are there's going to be a leak. So,
yeah. And even the smartest board, you know, the boards with some of the smartest people, best of intentions, they make, you know, sometimes they make the wrong decisions too, right? This isn't about making perfect decisions all the time, but it's about making sure you go through the process to ensure you give yourself the highest probability of making the right decisions.
Yeah. And I mean, there's pieces to this as well that I'm sure that, you know, a lot of farm businesses would say, oh, well, we're not going there. But having independent directors, you know, in family business generally, there's a continuum where it goes from, you know, the founder, and then the founder might say, well, you know, I want an advisory board, so I'm going to get my accountant and my lawyer to be on the board with me. And it sort of eventually evolves maybe into a proper legal board. But, you know, there's a continuum that needs to happen. But having outsiders ask questions, not to run the business, but, you know, in modern farming, technology and risk management are going to be increasingly important. And just to have some people that were, the skill set's not in, you know, getting the right canola variety. The skill set's going to be in technology and in risk management and being able to contribute to the farm business by being an outsider with a different level of expertise and a different perspective to make, and or in finance. You know, we're gonna expand. You know, how are we gonna finance that?
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, when you refer to board of directors and, you know, independent people, that same kind of application can fit even at the management team level, right? Where that kind of outside knowledge can be really, really beneficial, especially if the family, the nuclear family unit, they've never really worked anywhere else, or they've kind of been focused on that farm their entire lives.
Yeah, totally. And then you have a very insular sort of, you know, view of the world. And, maybe it's not that things go bad, but maybe what the outcome is, Sean, is that you don't see the opportunities and you miss the opportunities. So instead of just looking at it as avoiding bad outcomes, you know, what good governance can do is also, bring forward opportunities that where you can actually really leapfrog and do things in a way that you wouldn't have thought of, just by having people that have a different perspective, and you know, part and parcel of it. I think, you know, a lot of farms, from my experience, there is a desire by the family to have it go from one generation to the next one, and that, you know, what can really blow things up, which again is a governance thing, is, you know, I'm going to give it to my son. Oh, well, my son is married. Oh, their marriage just blew up. And she wants half of whatever, or he wants half. And, you know, you can get into really sticky situations if again, it's another dimension of risk management to think, okay, How do we actually structure legally, and if there's, unfortunately, you know, marital breakups, how can we actually have the business be as unaffected as possible by the fact that two people aren't getting along anymore?
Brian, thank you so much for joining us here today on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Love to do it.
This is another one of those topics where we feel that it only applies to larger, broader Fortune 500 kind of companies. But as we heard from Brian Hayward, our guest today, it's just not true. Have you ever thought about a governance plan on your farm? And is it something that you refer to when faced with substantial decision-making or critical forks in the road for your business? Not only a topic for big business, good governance is good business for any company of any size. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion on governance. If you have any feedback or comments, please send me an email, shaney@realagriculture.com, or call the Real Ag Listener line, 855-776-6147. You can find more episodes of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Thanks to RBC Royal Bank. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.